What makes our faith different? You can be a Confucianist without knowing Confucius. You can be a Buddhist without knowing Buddha. You can be an Islamist without knowing Muhammad. But you can't be a Christian without knowing Jesus. Christianity is a vital relationship with the Son of God.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Take God's precious word and open, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12. And when you've found it, look up here and let me tell you that we entered these new buildings in November of 89. And we wanted God to bless in a very special way. And I thought, what would I preach about? What would be my text as we came into these new buildings? Wondering if God would fill it even once. God filled it twice on that glorious morning. The Lord laid on my heart to preach about how great the Lord Jesus Christ is. How great He is. And so I turn to this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Today we're going to be talking about our great Savior. Solomon had a visit from a woman who was the Queen of Sheba. And she came and saw all of the wisdom, the wealth, the works of Solomon. And she said, the breath is gone out of me. When she saw the glories of Solomon's kingdom. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, look, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, what caused Jesus to say that? Well, the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus. They were castigating Jesus. They were questioning Jesus. They were judging Jesus. And Jesus said, now you listen. The Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts of the earth, probably at that time Ethiopia. And when she saw all that Solomon had said and did, she said, it is glorious. And then Jesus said, look, you are oblivious to the obvious. A greater than Solomon is here. Now, what do you think they thought when he said that? I mean, this peasant, this carpenter's son. What do you think they thought when Jesus had what they thought was the unmitigated audacity to say, a greater than Solomon is here? Because Solomon was the apex of all greatness, all wealth, all wonder. And yet here's a man in his sandal feet looking them straight in the face and saying, a greater than Solomon is here. Dr. Robert G. Lee, the former pastor of this church, said this, and I want to share with you. He said, they must have thought, well, Solomon was a king's son. Jesus is a carpenter's son. How can he be greater? Solomon was born in a palace. Jesus was born in a stable. How can he be greater? Solomon was born in Jerusalem. Jesus was born in little Bethlehem. How can he be greater? Solomon had many servants to wait upon him hand and foot. Jesus had none. How can Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon wore his kingly robes so much that Jesus compared them to the flowers of the field, but Jesus wore his peasant's garb, a seamless garment. How could Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon drank from vessels of gold. Jesus had to get a drink from a Samaritan harlot. How can Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon was rich beyond compare. Jesus was a pauper. How can Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon had great armies. Jesus only had a few stragglers following him. How could Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon lived in mansions. Jesus was homeless and sometimes didn't have a place to put his head down. How could Jesus be greater than Solomon? Solomon had 1,400 chariots, 1,200 horsemen, 40,000 stalls of horses, and he rode in splendor. And Jesus walked. How could Jesus be greater than Solomon? Well, for our study this morning, as we think about Jesus, and we think about this being a Jesus church, I want to tell you some ways that Jesus is greater. First of all, Jesus is greater than Solomon in the wisdom that he proclaims. Now, I want you to go backward in your Bible now, and let's look at Solomon. Go back, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 10. And just open your Bibles there, and if you want to jot these scriptures down, you may do it, but we're going to be going in a hurry this morning. But I want you to think about Jesus, who is greater than Solomon in the wisdom that he proclaims. 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 4. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. That is, she's going to examine him to see just how intelligent he is. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, that is, an entourage with her, with camels, and that bear spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. She said, now this is my big chance. Solomon's supposed to be so wise. I'm going to find out just how wise he is. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, the breath went out of her. And then notice, if you skip on down to 1 Kings 10, 24. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. Now, folks, you talk about a wise man. Solomon was a wise man. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. When you read the book of Proverbs, you see that Solomon knew all about biology. You know that he knew all about psychology. You know that he knew all about theology. Listen, Solomon knew 3,000 Proverbs. He had memorized 1,500 Psalms. What a mind he had. Solomon knew all about creation. Look, if you will, in 1 Kings 4, verse 33, or just jot it down. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and of the fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. Solomon knew all about the created universe. Oh, friend, he'd do good on a biology test. He knew all about that. But now, wait a minute. Jesus had greater wisdom. You see, Jesus made all of the things that Solomon knew about. John 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, by Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, we read in the Bible about Solomon, and he studied ichthyology. He knew all about fishing, and he knew all about fish. But listen, Jesus knew more. Jesus put enough fish in empty nets to sink two boats. Solomon knew all about the wind and the cycle of the wind. But Jesus knew more. Jesus knew how to rebuke the wind and cause the Sea of Galilee that was whipping its frenzied waves up to lie still like a whipped puppy. When he said, hush, be still. Solomon knew all about navigation And how ships go when he sent ships out to all over the earth to bring back riches. Well, he did, but Jesus knew more. Jesus knew how to walk on water. Amen? Jesus knew more than Solomon. And Solomon found out that all of his wisdom didn't satisfy him. Maybe you're a PhD, and you think that's going to satisfy you, but you may end up a phenomenal dud. That's what it'll stand for. Let me tell you what Solomon said about his wisdom there in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 17. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. Folks, listen. The more a man knows, the more he knows he doesn't know. And if a man has any sense, he knows that he doesn't know. We think of Einstein as kind of being the Solomon of our age because of his brilliance. Einstein died in 1955, and he said, I feel like a man chained. If I could only be freed from the shackles of my intellectual smallness, then I could understand the universe in which I live. Now that's Einstein. The shackles of my intellectual smallness. And Solomon was wise, but he wasn't as wise as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You want wisdom? I believe God has given me wisdom. You say, you're boasting. No, I'm bragging in Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says here. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. If you have Jesus, you have wisdom. And James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. It will be given to you. Ephesians 1 verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You say, Pastor, are you putting down education? No, but I'm going to tell you something else. I'd rather be in heaven singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, than to be in hell spouting philosophy. I'm just so glad that Jesus is greater than Solomon in wisdom. And then Jesus is greater than Solomon in his works. Now, Solomon did some mighty things, and we're going to see them right here. Look, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. So not only did she see his wisdom, she saw his works. Solomon built a palace for himself. It took 13 years to complete his palace. His palace defies description. It was lavishly provided. You can read all about it in 1 Kings chapter 7 if you want to go home and read about it later on. But friend, Jesus is building a greater house. Look, if you will, in John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I was visiting with a preacher one time, Brother Mark, and I was preaching a revival in his church. And so we were driving around talking. He said, let me take you to the upscale section of the city. And so he took me out to where all the mansions are. And I said, well, that's nice, but you ought to see my brother's place. And he said, well, that's pretty good, but you ought to see my brother's place. And we kept on talking. I kept on bragging on my brother. He said, good night. Who is your brother? I said, Jesus. Jesus is my brother. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. Now, Solomon built a great house, a great palace. But, oh, thank God for what Jesus has done. He's greater than Solomon. Solomon set a table. He invited people in for great feasts. Look, if you go to verse 5. And the meat of his table and the setting of his servants and the abundance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers. She saw all this. She went to a banquet. She saw the cups of gold. She saw the servants, the way they were dressed so lavishly. It would go far beyond anything, any state dinner that the White House might have. The feasting was sumptuous. The food was beyond compare. But Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. Amen? Jesus could turn plain water into sparkling wine. All that Solomon did could never satisfy. But Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I give you,
you will never thirst again. And you know what Jesus is saying to you today, this one who's greater than Solomon? He's saying to you, come and dine. I'm telling you that only Jesus can set a table that will satisfy your heart. Friends all around me are trying to find what the heart yearns for by sin undermined. I have the secret. I know where 'tis found. Only true pleasures in Jesus abound. Solomon built a temple. A temple that he built was beyond compare and description. 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 5 speaks of the house of the Lord. And when she saw the house of the Lord, she said, there's no more spirit in me. What she meant by that is, that's it, I'm about to faint. I never expected to see so much. It's far more than I expected to see. Now, what was Solomon's temple like? They tell us it's the most glorious, gorgeous building, that the most magnificent building that has ever been built. 183,600 workers worked for 7.5 years to build that temple. Solomon's father, David, had been collecting gold and silver and brass and jewels and cedar wood to build that temple. God himself designed the temple. God was the architect of the temple. God anointed the workmen to build the temple. The temple faced east. And as the sun would come up over the Mount of Olives and shine on that temple, overlaid with ivory and gold, Josephus, the Jewish historian, said, it stood there upon Mount Zion like a mountain of snow. But Jesus has built a greater temple. Where is Jesus' temple? Right here in this building. This building is not the temple. You are the temple. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that you are, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You want to see a temple of God? More wonderful than Solomon's temple? Right here, right there, right up there. You are the temple of God. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, he has a people for his temple. Now, Solomon's temple is gone. It's been destroyed. What you're looking at now will never be destroyed. You see, I'm a temple of God. You're a temple of God. Learn that. A greater temple than Solomon ever built. You see, look, salvation. And I've told you this many times, I'll tell you one more time, that salvation is not getting man out of earth into heaven, it is getting God out of heaven into man. We are now a temple of God. Now, thirdly, not only is Jesus greater in wisdom and greater in works, but Jesus is greater in the workers that he pleases. Solomon had some happy workers. Look in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of the acts, of thy acts, that's his works, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, that is his workers. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. She said, look, I've never seen people so happy. These people who work in your courts, they're the happiest people that I have ever seen. And can you imagine serving Almighty God by serving in the court of Israel's king, Solomon, in all of this lavish wealth? The way he fed his servants, the way he dressed his servants, the way he paid his servants. And they were servants of such a wise and a healthy king. But listen, listen, precious friend, Jesus is greater than Solomon and the workers that he pleases. I'm so happy in Jesus. I am. It may sound corny, but I love him with all my heart. And I want to love him more. You see, I am his worker. You're his worker. Solomon's workers We're happy, but Jesus gives more. Jesus gives joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus gives joy that is conspicuous, continuous, contagious. Solomon's workers had to give up all of those things that brought them happiness. They're all gone and they're done for. The palace is gone. The table's gone. The robes are gone. Solomon is gone. But the source of my joy has not diminished, because my joy does not depend upon what happens. It depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for the joy of serving Jesus. I am incredibly blessed that God has let me serve Him these years and to be the pastor of this dear church. And I want to tell you, this world and this very people, this very building is filled with people who are happy in Jesus. Jesus pleases His workers. And Jesus rewards His workers. And Jesus is far greater than Solomon in the workmen that He pleases. But now I want you to notice that Jesus is far greater than Solomon in the wealth that He possesses. Look in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, he had the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and all of the kings of Arabia and all of the governors of the country. They were just pouring the wealth into Solomon's coffers. Probably no man ever in the history of the world has had wealth like this man Solomon had. It's summed up in 1 Kings 10, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. It was not an exaggeration. They were pouring pounds and tons of gold on him, ivory and spices, and he had ships going out, and they were bringing the wealth to Solomon. And he was wealthy. But you listen to me. Jesus is greater in wealth. Amen? Listen. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to Jesus, and all of the diamonds and the rubies in those hills. Every star in the sky belongs to Jesus. I heard some people had a pretty good scheme. they were selling stars. You know, if you'd send them some money, they would name a star after you. I thought, big deal. Too late for that. The Bible says He calls them all by name. Every one of them in the vast stellar universe. You know, Solomon was rich, but he left me no legacy. Jesus has made me rich beyond compare. And I would not, listen, I would not sell what I have in Jesus. I would not. God bears me witness. If you were to fill this building with rubies, gold, silver, diamonds, and stocks and bonds, I wouldn't have to think a New York minute about whether I would trade it all for Jesus. I spoke on this subject one time, and Phil Weatherwax handed me this. He said he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks, the rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell, and he's my father and they are mine as well. That's true. But friend, the greater spiritual riches is what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater in the riches that He possesses. But let me come to the final thing. Jesus is greater than Solomon in the worship that He provides. You see, Solomon led in worship. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible speaks of Solomon, and the queen of Sheba said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." Now, Solomon was there to lead the people in worship. That's why he built the temple, and God gave him a throne. Look in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best of gold. No wonder the breath went out of the Queen of Sheba when she saw that shimmering throne. But hey, church, listen to me. There's another throne, and Jesus sits upon it. I want you to listen to this verse, Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And I beheld, and lo, the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Friend, Solomon no longer sits upon his throne. Jesus sits on his. That throne is not up for grabs. He will never, ever be dispossessed. And that's why, church, we must worship the one, the Lord Jesus, who is greater than Solomon. Dr. Lee, that I referenced here a few moments ago, Dr. Lee told a story I think I shall never forget. Dr. Lee told a story of a fire that was in a schoolhouse in South Carolina. The children were trapped inside that schoolhouse. The bells rang. The alarms went off. The strong men of that community came to try to rescue those children from the fire. But they were trapped inside. It was an inferno. And they tried to get the children out. But it was too late. Mortal flesh could not do it. One father was there, and he looked through the flames, and he saw the face of his little boy. And his little boy saw that father. And his little boy said, Daddy, can't you save me? Can't you save me? They had to hold the man back. It would have been suicide for him to go into those flames. And Dr. Lee said that man stood there and watched his precious son wither. Like a flower when an acetylene torch would be held upon it. The father's hair turned white almost overnight. All he could see for 2 years was the face of that boy in the flames. Father only lived for 2 years because of a broken heart. And over again, he heard that little boy saying, Father, can't you save me? And this old hell-bound, sin-soaked, careening, sick, drunken world, it needs saving. This world looks to science and says, Science, can't you save me? Solomon knew all about science. But science says, I can tell you how far it is from the earth to the sun. But I can't save you. And this dying world looks to culture and says, Culture, can't you save me? Culture says, I can teach you etiquette. I can teach you how to make the world a better place to go to hell from. But I can't save you. And this world looks to education and says, Education, can't you save me? Education says, I can teach you how to work at your computer. I can teach you the history of the world, but I have no ability to save you. This world looks to government and says, Government, please save us. Are you counting on Washington to save you? Are you counting on the Pentagon to save you? Government, in honesty, says, I cannot save this world. We all know it. But friend, there's one greater than Solomon. And we need to sing it with all of our heart. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus. 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 Our great Savior, Jesus. A greater than Solomon, a greater than anyone else, a greater than all else is the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes our faith different? You can be a Confucianist without knowing Confucius. You can be a Buddhist without knowing Buddha. You can be an Islamist without knowing Muhammad. But you can't be a Christian without knowing Jesus. Christianity is a vital relationship with the Son of God. Now, congregation, that Jesus that is greater than Solomon is here today in this building, for he says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Congregation, a greater than Solomon is here today. Understand that. Greater in wisdom, greater in wealth, greater in works, greater in worship. Solomon slew thousands and thousands of animals when he dedicated his temple. But the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats can't take away sin. But there is one, Calvary's Lamb, who took your sin, my sin, to the cross. And with that rich red royal blood, paid our sin price, our debt. Bow your heads in prayer. A friend, a greater than Solomon is here today, and he's worthy of your love. He's worthy of your worship. He loves you. He wants to enrich your life. He wants to give you joy. He wants to reach out to you and say, "I'm the only one that can truly save you." If you'd like to be saved, would you pray a prayer like this? Dear God, I know that education can't save me. Science and culture and government and all of these things that men are striving after, and perhaps I've been striving after. Lord, you're the great Savior, greater than Solomon, greater than any and greater than all. And I receive you, the Lord of glory, into my bosom, into my heart, into my life this morning. Come into my life. Take control of my life. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Save me, Lord Jesus. Friend, believe on that old rugged cross, he paid your sin debt. And if you will receive him, he will make you a new creature. Pray from your heart. Save me, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that many will do that today. In the holy, wonderful, saving name of Jesus, amen. Precious friend, I remind you again that the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. That is a hallelujah. Every blur, every blemish, every spot, every stain can be washed whiter than snow in the precious blood of Jesus. Would you like to have your sin cleansed and obliterated by the blood? Would you? Would you pray a prayer like this? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for the power of your shed blood. I now turn from my sin to you. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me, Lord Jesus. Save me, Lord Jesus. Pray it, mean it. And if you do, write to us and let us know. We will rejoice. And we'll send you some literature to help you to get started in your Christian life.
We hope that today's message has been an encouragement to you as we have studied God's Word together. For more resources from Adrian Rogers, including copies or downloads of this message, as well as Pastor Rogers' outline, notes, or a complete transcript of this message, please visit our website, lwf.org. At lwf.org, you can also sign up to receive our daily heartbeat emails. Each heartbeat contains a daily scripture and devotional thought from Adrian Rogers, an inspirational 90-second treasure from the Word, as well as a link to our daily radio program and other resources all in one place, delivered directly to your computer or mobile device each morning. And if you would like to learn more about who Jesus is, we hope you'll visit the Discover Jesus link on our homepage. Or if you're looking for some inspiration or encouragement to get you through the week, check us out on social media at LWF Ministries. Join us next time as Adrian Rogers brings us more profound truth, simply stated, with another powerful message from God's Word. Thanks for joining us for today's message. We'll see you next time.
You know, Jesus said, "In the world we'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's already under His feet. He will make a way for us.
Christians aren't immune to pain and suffering. No matter what you're struggling with, the Tapestry Hope and Healing Journal from Love Worth Finding can help you take the steps you need to further the healing process. This second volume of our Tapestry series includes profound insights from Adrian Rogers, along with questions and space to write your own thoughts and notes. Using Adrian Rogers' 5-step process for examining God's Word, this beautiful leather-bound journal is for anyone who may be going through a difficult season of heartache. For your gift to the ministry this month, we'd love to send you a copy of the Tapestry Hope and Healing Journal. You can call with a gift to 1-800-647-9400, or you can give online at lwf.org.